Coming up on today's show.
Being a coach, I had an opportunity to have deeper conversations with these young men that I knew that the experience was going to carry them beyond what they were doing on the court, because it was more important what they did off the court.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website, as I hope you know by now, is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Additionally, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that's immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, I'll give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As the Super Bowl approaches on Sunday, we will likely hear about 66-year-old Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid being the third longest tenured current NFL head coach. 12 years he has been at the helm for the defending back-to-back champions. Here in Tampa Bay, we have the National Hockey League's longest tenured current head coach. John Cooper has been behind the Lightning bench since that same year, 2013. It all pales in comparison to the NBA's Greg Popovich, who has been the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs since 1996. We all want longevity, do we not? We long to live to an old age. We ask the Lord to bless us with good health so we can continue on in our years. Just like Andy Reid and John Cooper and Greg Popovich give hope to coaches who want longevity in their sport, we too have a source to look to for inspiration to continue on our earthly path. In the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 9 is talking about what we should and should not be doing as Christians, and in verse 11 says, quote, "For by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life increased." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was varsity basketball coach for 7 years at the Boys Latin School of Maryland. On the business side, he joined forces with NBA legend Walt the Wizard Williams to assist former NFL player Wally Ogunle with the UBS Sports and Entertainment Division. Together, they revolutionized wealth management for elite clients, including the National Basketball Players Association, and brokered historic deals such as connecting Players TV Media Group, a collective powered by icons like Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, and Kyrie Irving, with UBS. He is also a U.S. Army combat veteran, and he demonstrated a true Christian heart by quitting his seven-figure job to create a social impact company that focuses on financial education for the underprivileged. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Antoine Deland.
Thank you for having me, Bruce. I'm excited about this conversation.
Likewise. Good to have you on the show. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're based in Maryland. Where were you actually born and raised, though, and what was the family size?
So I am based in Towson, Maryland. However, I am originally from San Antonio, Texas. Go Craig Popovich with San Antonio Spurs. So I grew up a huge Spurs fan. And my family size was four of us. I had two sisters and a brother.
And you fell where? Oldest, youngest, or somewhere in between?
I fell in the middle.
Okay. And the lead up to today, I was told that you are Catholic, and of course you would not be on this show if you weren't. But was that in fact a Catholic household you were raised in? And also tell us about Catholic education that you received, what that looked like.
I was raised Baptist, and I decided to convert to Catholicism back in 2017 when it was time for my son to get baptized, and we wanted to make sure that he was brought into one faith. And so I took the journey along with my family to convert over to Catholicism.
So that sounds like you were enrolled in RCIA at your local parish.
I was enrolled in RCIA. That's right. That's absolutely correct.
Was it simply the birth of your son, or was there something that had been moving in you that pointed you towards the Catholic Church and this decision to convert?
You know, it's interesting. So when I was in Iraq in 2003 and being there, I had an opportunity to open my mind to religion on a deeper and spiritual level. It was probably the first time that I saw people who were in doubt just based on the circumstances of being in war. And with that, it made me open up my Bible more and get more in tune with my faith. And so leaving Iraq and coming back into the States, it made me think about what I wanted to do and who was really guiding me, who actually protected me to make it out of the circumstances that I was in, who guided me on the path that I am today. And so it's a combination of intriguement and just, you know, true faith and wanting to walk the right walk. I love the structure that Catholicism provided. I love the history that Catholicism provided as someone who really relishes in history itself. And my wife was Catholic as well.
Ah, okay. Okay. I mentioned in the intro that you coached basketball for 7 years, but before we get to that, at what age did you first start playing sports? What sports did you play? And was there one person in particular, by the way, that encouraged you to participate in athletics? Just describe all that for us.
Sure. So growing up in San Antonio, I would grow up and I would go to the San Antonio basketball camps, whether it was David Robinson. I was good friends with George Gervin's son, George Gervin Jr. And so just growing up and seeing basketball played at a very high level with inside San Antonio made me really interested in playing basketball. So I played basketball and football, then started to focus on just basketball getting into high school. And from that standpoint, moving on, I just knew that I wanted to coach because I wanted to give back to the game from a mentorship standpoint. Mm. And that's kind of how I viewed coaching, was being in a position to coach up young men, being that Boys Latin is an all-boys school.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to come back to that. But you've done a great job of setting the table here. So that brings us up to you attended Norfolk State University. What did your college years look like, both in terms of faith and sports? Were you regularly practicing your faith? We're hearing that you weren't Catholic yet, but were you active prayer-wise? And then sports-wise, were you playing basketball either on the university's team or maybe intramural? Just tell us about your years at Norfolk State.
My time at Norfolk State, I had an opportunity to play for the team. And, you know, just being misguided, getting into college, Bruce, to be completely frank with you, I didn't take sports as serious, which from that standpoint put me in a position to where if I wanted to continue my education, I had to join the Army, which is when I joined the Army. And so I actually had a different route with college just because I got to Norfolk State in 2000. However, I joined the Army in 2001, was sent overseas or activated in 2002, served in Iraq in 2003, got back in April of 2004, and then enrolled back into Norfolk State. So from that standpoint, sports kind of was pushed to the wayside, and it was more of wanting to focus on the academic side to really follow my purpose and my passion, which was to become a financial advisor.
And as you were entering in 2000, did you have much of a prayer life at that point?
You know, I did. You know, so I grew up in the church. My grandmother was a deacon in the church. And so we grew up in a small church. And so we were the church, right? So just about every day I spent time in the church, whether I was part of the choir, whether I was part of the janitorial crew. Everything that I did was centered around the church. So I grew up with a strong faith, even while entering Norfolk State University. It's one of the things that got me to the point of believing that I could make it out of San Antonio, Texas, and have the position to attend Norfolk State University, being the first person in my family to graduate college.
I guess it does beg the question, because I'm assuming that Norfolk State is in Virginia, yes?
That's correct. It's in Norfolk, Virginia.
So how does someone from Texas end up all the way in Virginia? What about that school brought you out there?
Well, one, it was a historically Black college and university, and I wanted to be in an environment that I felt represented. And then two, to be frank with you, it was near Virginia Beach. You know, growing up in San Antonio, we didn't have water. We were, you know, landlocked for the most part. And so that was really intriguing to me. And also the opportunity of potentially playing basketball for Norfolk State University was also really intriguing to me after having several conversations with the coach leading up to me arriving to Norfolk State University.
Okay. I want to get into your 7 years of coaching at the Boys Latin School of Maryland, as well as the sports deals I mentioned that you've been a part of, not to mention walking away from a seven-figure job. But first, thank you for your service, and please tell us about your time as an Army sergeant and how that helped you in terms of mindset after you were no longer in the service.
So my time in Iraq, I was the gunner for civilian truck drivers driving equipment from Kuwait City to north of Baghdad to Balad, Iraq, and, you know, hitting, you know, most towns in between. Every trip that we took, we were in imminent danger. And so the focus that we had to have to carry through our mission, each trip would probably take about 3 days on the road, and we would stop in various camps to kind of get a night's sleep, because again, it wasn't safe to drive during the nighttime. So we would try to drive early in the morning, and then we would try to reach a camp before nightfall. And of course, it gets very dark in Iraq, you know, early. And so, you know, it was it tested my faith, right? I had to believe in the divine power in order to get through every single mission. And that's what got me through, is my faith, which is something that I carry through, you know, to today. And I've always said that, you know, God provides vision with provision. And I knew that the start of my life was getting through those circumstances in Iraq, but it wasn't going to be my final destination.
Fantastic. And folks, this is a significant episode of Catholic Sports Radio. 2 days ago, February 1st, marked the 6-year anniversary of this podcast. I'm proud to say that a new episode has been delivered on time every week since that first one debuted back on February 1st, 2019. That's right, I've never missed a week once. Thank you, God, for that, especially for someone who has a long heart history, that our Father in Heaven has seen to it that my medical challenges have not prevented me from continuing with this show week after week, month after month, year after year. My thanks to all the great guests who have been on Catholic Sports Radio over these 6 years, and absolutely a huge thank you to all of you who listen. I cannot move people closer to Christ through this mix of faith and sports if no one is out there listening. So thank you ever so much for believing in this ministry. It's a calling. It's a labor of love. It's something that I do to give back with my time and talent voluntarily, meaning that, no, after 6 years, I still do not get any income from doing this show. And yes, that means that I still have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover all the costs that come with operating this ministry on and off the air. You are all a part of this, though. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and I hope that you, too, are using this show as a way to encourage people to draw closer to the Lord. Presumably, you do see value in this. You do like the show. You support the work that I'm doing. As a result, I would ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to help me with this ministry, with our ministry. Maybe in light of the show's anniversary, you might consider a financial gift with a 6 in it, $16, $60, $66, $106. The blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people do not like putting payment information on the internet, You can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email. For details on sending a check through the mail, bruce@catholicsportsradio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Antoine, before all that, I listed a few different areas I wanted us to get into. Let's start first with the 7 years you spent as varsity basketball coach at the Boys Latin School of Maryland. That's not a Catholic or even a Christian school, but based on something you said in the first half of the show, I have a feeling you're going to tell us that you were not simply teaching those boys X's and O's and working with them on skills and drills for their sport.
Not even close, Bruce. Not even close. I looked at that as an opportunity to coach up young men. And so I actually ran and currently still run a mentorship program with the varsity basketball team. So when, as a financial advisor, I would bring them into my office to give them experience into the financial sector, but also take them to buy their first suit, because again, it was in presentation. So the way you looked is how you felt. And I wanted to make sure that they also had a suit for their first interview, for a meeting with their mom, or even to go to church. They had an opportunity to have a suit. And so I spent a lot of time mentoring these young men and, you know, keep in contact with a lot of the young men today. One of my partners in Vision X is one of the young men that I used to coach, Patrick Spencer, who actually plays for the Golden State Warriors now. Then I also had an opportunity to coach his brother, Cam Spencer, who also plays for the Memphis Grizzlies in the NBA. And so for me, it's been great having those experiences of mentoring these young men, but now being able to build with them a solid community to give back and put themselves in a position where they're selfless.
That's fantastic. And I love that none of that was, well, Bruce, let me tell you about a championship that we won, or Bruce, let me tell you about a title game that was particularly memorable. And if any of your former players listen to this interview, I think they would not be surprised that coach is not on there talking about wins and losses.
You know, I think winning and losing, I think there are lessons inside of it. But being a coach, for me, I had an opportunity to take on a real mentorship. I had an opportunity to have deeper conversations with these young men that I knew that the experience was going to carry them beyond what they were doing on the court, because it was more important what they did off the court. And so, yes, we won a championship while I was there. We had a phenomenal record. I had an opportunity to coach with Cliff Reese, who played at Navy with David Robinson, again, coming full circle back, being from San Antonio. And, you know, it was just a great experience. But what made it a true life-changing experience was the fact that I was able to impact young men then who I still keep in contact with today.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You obviously took your passion for sports into the boardroom, as evidenced by all those deals that I read off in the intro that you were a part of. I'm hopeful that you're going to tell us how you brought not only the lessons from the Army, but the foundation of your faith into some of that. And for that matter, did you find that some of the NBA players you dealt with were godly men also?
Absolutely. And it wasn't just the NBA. We covered the NBA, the NFL. We covered a lot of musicians, producers, actors, actresses. And, you know, quite frankly, you would be amazed of how many of them lived in their faith. Most of them come from humble beginnings. And so with that, they had a deep-rooted sense of faith, because they knew that they didn't get where they got or where they were on their own. And so a lot of the times it was easy to have conversations that led along those lines.
Wow. Wow. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And were these deals being made after you had converted to Catholicism? Because I wonder, did you bring your Catholic faith, I'm going to say openly, into the boardroom?
So my faith has always walked with me. I think, you know, the great part is faith teaches discipline. And to me, that's what the Army also represented, was discipline. And it goes back to being disciples, right? And so I felt that my faith allowed me to be a disciple, whether it was in the boardroom, whether it was coaching, or whether it was being a father and a husband. I knew that I needed discipline to get to where I needed to get. And it could not only be about me. And so when I took the opportunity to close deals, it was with sheer discipline that I knew that I was going to provide an opportunity to help someone further grow their initiative, whether it was their own account, whether it was building generational wealth, whether it was with the MBPA wanting to establish better structures for their current and former players, whether it was with Players TV Media Group wanting to have a larger outreach and own their own voice in the media. To me, that's what it was. I knew that I needed to leverage my discipline approach and share that with them to guide them to where they were trying to go.
Amen. Amen. We know that we worship God and God alone, not money, not fame, not false idols. But still, take us through your having walked away from a seven-figure job to create a social impact company focused on financial education for the underprivileged.
Bruce, I received a calling. I received a calling early last year in 2024. Mm. And it was a simple calling that said, Antoine, if you don't make a change, you know, essentially that I would stop growing. And at that point, when I received that calling, I started to do a deeper dive into myself through my faith with my wife and my son. And I realized that while I got great at making wealthy people wealthier, there was a system built for individuals that felt forgotten. And my purpose became, led by that call, that I needed to use the resources and the tools that I had developed over almost two decades to make sure that the undervalued and those that felt overlooked had an opportunity to have access to those tools and had an opportunity to build a ripple effect to thrive, not only for themselves, but for their family and for their communities.
I want to just go a little bit deeper into this because, audience, it's okay. I know there's some of you that are having trouble accepting somebody walking away from a seven-figure job, and that's natural. That's just human nature. But I love that you're hearing Antoine say that he felt a calling. So, Antoine, just take us a little further into that. Was it one real revelation moment that you had? Was it, I just kept hearing this over and over? Because I also wonder, are there people that maybe there's a calling for and they're not listening, they're not availing themselves to the Holy Spirit to move in whatever their situation is in the way that you answered the call?
So that's an interesting way to place it, Bruce. And the reason why I say it's interesting is in 2003, I was 21 in Iraq, and it was my first time witnessing absolute poverty. Mm. You know, I came from humble beginnings. My mother worked three jobs to support my brother and sister and I. And I thought that I was impoverished, you know, but I never went without. And being in Iraq, witnessing absolute poverty, witnessing families living in sand huts and, you know, transportation being donkeys and kids with no clothing and no access to education.
Wow.
It always stuck with me. It always stuck with me. I never could get around that feeling that I witnessed. And so to me, it was God telling me that it was my time to answer the call. It was, Antoine, I opened your eyes and your heart in that moment in 2003 at 21 to take you to the point where you're 42 years old and you now know what you need to do. And he never allowed me to forget those faces and those voices. And that's what led me to that point. And so, you know, while I tried to ignore it based on the fact that I felt like, you know, my life was great. I lived in the home that I wanted to live in. You know, I drove the car that I wanted to drive, that was the car that I talked about getting when I was in Iraq, which was a 1957 Porsche 356. Hmm. I had done everything I wanted to do at a young age, and I still felt unfulfilled. And it was God telling me that I hadn't done enough.
Wow. Ooh, that's powerful. And audience, I love that Antoine said that it was something that God used last year from 2003. So there may be something in your past that you're still scratching your head to this day and say, why did I go through that? And, you know, step aside and let the Lord move in that, because obviously you hear the way that he can work. And we all know that nothing is impossible for God. And Antoine is living that out. Before we wrap up, as we head into the home stretch here, I want to have a little bit of fun. Antoine, because of your San Antonio roots, what is up with the Spurs? They have last year's NBA Rookie of the Year and Victor Wembanyama, yet they're out of the playoff picture. And yes, I realize it's only the start of February. And then secondly, changing sports, this is our last Catholic Sports Radio episode before the Super Bowl. So who's going to win Sunday, the Eagles or a three-peat for the Chiefs?
So here's the thing with the San Antonio Spurs. We got a young squad. We're building, right? Between Wembanyama and Sachin and some of the other players, we'll get to where we need to get because we have great leadership. And the owner with McComb to our coach and the entire team and staff. Regarding the Kansas City and Phillies, I just think it's amazing that Andy Reid gets to coach against the team that he last coached for, the Eagles. And so I wonder how he feels going against the Eagles, being that, you know, again, he had a lot of success with them, as well as having the success that he's had for the last 12 years with the Kansas City Chiefs. But with that, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs, only because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I can't, in my right mind, go for the Eagles.
Well, nobody asked me, but I think it's going to be an exceptionally, exceptionally close game, and I don't know how they could possibly stop Saquon Barkley. I don't mean that to imply that I think the Eagles are going to win, but I think he's going to be a factor, and I think it's going to be a very, very close game. Antoine, let's close by having you share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Absolutely. So I've been with my wife, Mary, for 21 years. And my son is 15, Anthony. And, you know, our faith is very strong. We attend Church of the Nativity, which is based in Timonia, Maryland, on Ridgely Road with Father Michael White. And it's our home away from home. And to the point, Bruce, that my 15-year-old son said to my wife and I that one of the most things he's most proud about in life is being Catholic.
Oof.
And that tells us that we're doing something right.
Amen.
We say prayers every night, and we've been saying it together as a family since he was born. And for 15 straight years, we continue to lead the way because we understand how important faith is. And as I said before, God provides vision with provision. So it's important to know where you're going, but also to know who's guiding you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I wonder, is he a basketball player? Is he playing another sport? What is he doing? And did he decide on his own, or did dad kind of influence his sporting choice?
You know what? Interestingly enough, he's playing basketball. He's 6'4 at 15 years old, and he's a stud basketball player. He actually is known as the first middle schooler. He's in eighth grade, first middle schoolers who actually get a in-game dunk. And he's a phenomenal athlete. And he's just been around the game because I've been around the game, but I've never forced him. I wanted to be his will because, again, it's his journey, not mine.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Antoine, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
God bless you as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was fun. And audience, as a nod to all the coaching that Antoine has done, I thought it would be fitting if we close this week's episode with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
From Joshua 24, as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Lord, I desire to serve you. Help me to make the right choices and encourage my players to do the same. Give me strength to act with integrity even when others choose not to. Allow me to stand firm in my decisions and rest in the peace and love that only you can provide. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.